The continuation of the Gospel according to St. Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding road shall be made straight, the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Thus were the words of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At daily masses this Tuesday in the ordinary form, Church pondered Jesus' parable of the two sons whom the father asked to go out and work in his vineyard. The first son said no, but afterward had a change of heart and went. The other son said, yes, sir, but didn't go. Jesus asked the chief priests and the elders of the people who were surrounding him, which of the two did the father's will? And they replied, the first. To which Jesus said, to the shocked ears of those who are hearing his application, amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. For when John the Baptist came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe in him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later convert and believe him. Today is the third consecutive Sunday in which John the Baptist comes to us in the way of righteousness, calling us to a particular form of hard work in the vineyard of our soul. With the message God sent him to announce at the Jordan 2,000 years ago and sends him to reiterate every Advent, John calls us, as the voice of one crying out in the desert, to prepare the way of the Lord, to make straight his paths, to fill in the valleys of a shallow prayer or moral life, to lower the mountains or the hills of pride and vanity, to straighten out the winding roads that distract and delay us from growth and holiness, and to smooth those paths that are rough and inconsistent. 2 weeks ago, he called us to conversion, and at the end of that gospel, we all said, Laus tibi Christe. Last week, we reiterated that praise to Christ for the summons of his precursor. And just minutes ago, we shot for the spiritual hat trick. But the question for us is whether we've really followed through. Have we just said, yes, sir, like the second son in Jesus' parable? Or have we acted on that commitment to do the work John the Baptist for God is calling us? Have we, like diligent road construction workers and civil engineers, done the hard work of conversion to which the Baptist calls us? Or are the same mountains and valleys the identical winding roads and rough ways still there? In his parable, Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people that the prostitutes and the publicans were entering God's kingdom before they were. Today, Jesus would use ISIS members and pimps and drug pushers have heard John the Baptist call. But the most religious people of all, who should have been the first to respond, the ones whose whole life was dedicated to hearing God's word and teaching it to others, they hadn't converted. They were just giving lip service to the divine summons the Baptist was announcing. When God, through His church, sends us St. John the Baptist for 3 consecutive Sundays each Advent, God is essentially saying to us, I have called you, not once, not twice, but 3 times to conversion. Would Jesus be able to say to us now that we've responded to that call the way the obvious sinners of John's day did? Or have we responded the way the so-called more righteous people have? 12 days ago, we began what I'm convinced, from the perspective of heaven, is now being looked at as one of the most grace-filled years in the 2-millennium history of the Church, the year of mercy, when the floodgates of divine love are maximally open for us to come and receive this supreme divine gift. And many have already been taking advantage of these graces. On the day it began, the solemnity of Mary's Immaculate Conception, the lines were long at both confessionals here at St. Agnes. I helped out. This past Monday, which was Advent Reconciliation Monday in the Archdiocese of New York, I heard confessions for 2 hours at another parish close by. And in both circumstances, I was happy not only to have no time to myself in the confessional, but because so many people who had been away from God's mercy for years were coming to receive His mercy. Just yesterday afternoon at another parish in Manhattan, I heard confessions for 4 hours, including many who had been away for decades, including several adults who were making their first confession, even though they had been raised in the Catholic Church or received in the Catholic Church years ago. How beautiful all of those experiences were. So many people who have been far away from the Lord are responding to the graces God has given and coming before Christmas to allow God to do that reconstruction project John the Baptist has announced. Many times people ask me what the greatest thing about being a priest is. And there are so many mind-blowing experiences that it's hard to compare. It's kind of like a New England Patriots fan comparing Super Bowl championships. How can you compare anointing a woman 22 seconds before she dies and preparing her to spend eternity with God, to having bread and wine change into your hands to the eternal Son of God and have the joy to give Him to others, to be hijacked on occasion by the Holy Spirit in the pulpit to try to share God's most powerful words ever enunciated with His beloved sons and daughters? But as great as all of those experiences are, I think by far the happiest, the greatest, the most profound experience of all is what happens for priests in the confessional when people, whether strangers or spiritual directees, come with humility, transparency, and sorrow and confess everything before God and leave with their souls returned back to the splendor they had on the day of their baptism. Jesus promised that heaven rejoices more for one repentant sinner than for 99 who never needed to repent. That every reconciliation is a resurrection when a son or a daughter who was dead comes to life again. And a priest is able to recognize over and over again the incredible joy of God's raising a son or a daughter to life anew through bathing them in His clean, cool, merciful water flowing from His pure side. God wants all of us to experience that mercy. That's why He sends John the Baptist to summon us not just to the work of making straight the paths. That's just the first part. But John the Baptist is sent to help us to make straight the paths in order that on those paths we can hustle out even more quickly to encounter that Lord who wants to meet us on that road and meet us with His mercy. The whole season of Advent is meant to prepare us to meet Christ in His mercy with the joy with which He brings it. The hymns we sing throughout the season announce it. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. Free from what? From our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Christ's whole purpose is coming to release us from our fears and our sins. Veni, veni, rex gentium, redemptor, veni, redemptor omnium. Why are we asking the Redeemer of all to come? Ut salvas tuos famulos, peccatis sibi conscios. We're asking him to come to save his servants who are so aware of their sins. Then cleansed be every heart from sin, make straight the way of God within. Prepare we in our hearts a home where such a mighty guest may come. We're preparing in ourselves a place where he who is holy and holy and holy can come and abide. Dispel in glorious splendor the darkness everywhere. We sing in Lo, how a rose here blooming. True man, yet very God, from sin and death now save us and share our every load. The beginning of Mass today, we sang Rorate Caeli Desupir, one of the most famous Advent hymns, taken from the words of the prophet Isaiah. Do not be angry, O Lord, and remember no longer our sins. We have sinned and have become as one who is unclean. We have all fallen as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have carried us away. Be comforted, my people. Your salvation comes quickly. Why are you consumed with grief? I will save you. Do not be afraid. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Redeemer. And we respond, Rorate Caeli Desupir. Drop down, O do you heavens from above. Let the clouds rain down the just one, who is Christ himself coming with his mercy. And finally, when we get to Christmas, we'll ring out with gusto. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. That's the whole point. God and sinners reconciled, that we will be able to go to Bethlehem and adore him who is mercy mild incarnate. O holy child of Bethlehem, we'll sing. Descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. And my favorite of all, from my French-Canadian background and service in Franco-American parishes in Massachusetts, Minuit Chrétien, from which O Holy Night is taken, we sing Noël, Noël, voici le Rédempteur. Behold the Redeemer. That's what Christmas is, the one who has come to take away our sins. And we sing, he was brisé tout entrave la terre et libre le ciel est ouvert. He's taken away all the planks that obstruct us and opened wide the gate to heaven. Advent and Christmas are all about mercy. We also see this in the two names given to Jesus in St. Matthew's account of the Nativity, that the whole church in both forms hears at the Christmas Vigil Mass. Jesus called what? Emmanuel and Yeshua, Jesus. Emmanuel means God with us, and Jesus means God saves. God is coming to be with us precisely to save us. In every instant, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, as the Lamb of God who substitutes for our sins his merciful love. And then what he wants to do is incorporate us into that offering, so that together we can give the Eternal Father not only his body, blood, soul, and divinity, but our body, blood, soul, sufferings, joy, everything we are and have, in expiation for our sins and the sins of the whole world, so that his mercy might reign and we might all come to experience forever the joy of what it means to be loved and forgiven. If we don't get this, we don't understand Advent 101 or Christmas 101. But the question recurs, have we acted on John the Baptist's summons? Have we allowed God with his backhoes in the confessional to take away all that is unworthy of him and prepare a fitting home? It's one final thought. St. Paul in today's passage from his first letter to Corinthians says, in something that's normally applied to priests, but can be expanded to encompass all of us, he says, thus should one regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. Now it is of course required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. God wants us all to become servants of his Son, trustworthy stewards of his mysteries and gifts, trustworthy stewards of his mercy. And to be a trustworthy servant and a faithful steward begins with faithfully saying yes to what God asks. But then it means following through, acting on that commitment. Much like the Blessed Virgin Mary who said fiat, then let her whole life develop in accordance to God's word. God likewise calls us, like he called our spiritual mother, like he called St. Paul, like he called St. John the Baptist, to be his servants, his stewards, his handmaids, and his collaborators on his great rescue mission of mercy, seeking to bring many others to behold with us their Redeemer, to embrace with us mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, and to bring them to the means God has given us so that he may cast out our sin, enter in, and be born in us anew. St. Paul was a faithful and trustworthy steward, so much so that he wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians that he was appealing to them as an ambassador of Christ to be reconciled to God. Christ this Christmas is asking us to report to duty. He wants us to become similar servants and stewards and to hearken as one body, as heraldic messengers, the same gift of mercy incarnate in his Son, wrapped unintimidatingly in swaddling clothes. This is our faith. This is the faith of the Church. How proud we are to profess it in Advent, in Christmas, and always, through Christ, our merciful and mild Savior. Amen.